Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Martin, and today we're going mile high, going to the Rockies to Bucks and Broncos with Joe Rowles. He covers them for Mile High Report and Cover 2 Broncos. He's got the inside info on a team that has plenty of players who are muy interesante for fantasy football. Joe, welcome. Bienvenido. Thank you for joining us.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
No, this is awesome. This is awesome. You know, I feel like anybody who is covering the Broncos, works with the Broncos, is a member of the Broncos, I feel like they were almost caught in the eye of the storm of the whole Aaron Rodgers situation of this offseason, and not really intending it to be. Can you kind of describe what it's been like to kind of be in your position covering the team, but just having it being talked about in a national perspective in a lot of what-if scenarios?
Oh man, it's been exhausting. This has been the strangest offseason I have ever followed the Broncos. And definitely the strangest offseason I've ever covered an NFL team. And part of it is by design. At the very beginning when George Payton was hired, he said that the Broncos would be in on every single deal. And so every time a quarterback became available this offseason, a team that needs a quarterback or may need a quarterback was rumored to be interested, and we heard conflicting reports from local reporters, national reporters. There was rumors, there was people talking on Twitter. And so when Adam Schefter broke on the first, like about an hour before the first day of the draft, that the Broncos or that Aaron Rodgers did not want to stay in Green Bay, and Mark Schlereth, and then from there, a lot of local reporters started to share that the Broncos were in on it. Oh man, yeah. And since then, I had a source, a friend, and then a source who basically led me to believe that the Broncos actually had a deal in place during that, and then the Packers pulled out of it. And again, my source may be wrong. I'm not trying to say. I don't think he misled me. Maybe he was I have no idea. You know, like I trust him. But obviously, it led to a waiting pattern because after the draft, it felt, you know, that obviously didn't happen. And then we were all looking for June 1st because that's when if a trade was going to go down, it had to pass June 1st because of the cap considerations, because the Packers would not be able to afford to trade Aaron Rodgers before that. So we were waiting. He skipped mandatory minicamp, which fueled the fire, obviously. And then, well, the trade didn't happen June 1st. And then you started to think about it. And this became the rationally, it made sense that the Packers would not feel like they had to trade him until training camp. So you got stuck in a waiting pattern, waiting until today and tomorrow. And of course, that led to yesterday when Aaron Rodgers came out and said, "I'm going." And Ian Rappaport reported it. And at that point, Broncos country kind of had to go through a grieving process of, we're not getting the league MVP from last year. We are back to Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, let's talk about those guys. You got Drew Lock, second round draft pick. He's definitely immense potential. There's been some hit and miss. Can you kind of break down where he is after two seasons and what you've heard that he's working on to try and get better? Because we did hear about he's watching tape with Peyton Manning, and hopefully that some of that seeps through. But can you kind of break kind of help us break it down?
So statistically, it's pretty bleak when you look at Drew Lock. So like that's kind of the first thing to point out. And I don't say that to try and pour cold water on him so much as just last year was ugly for the Broncos offense, and Drew Lock did not come out of that looking great. That said, the big plays were there. He definitely has a big arm. He definitely has the mobility to get out of the pocket, and he has the arm talent, the ability to throw without connecting his upper body to his lower body to be able to make throws off platform. And these are all great things because in today's NFL, I think you need that because you cannot count on the pocket to stay consistent. That said, he desperately needs to improve his poise. He needs to not roll out of clean pockets. That was an issue last year. He needs to do a better job finding his hots, which is just dump off when his primary receiver is not there. He needs to improve at reading the defense. He needs to do a better job of connecting his lower body and his upper body because that will lead to more consistent accuracy it'll help him to lead receivers. And that was a consistent issue last year that impacted KJ Hamler and Jerry Jeudy. And one of the reasons why the Broncos took out horizontal leading throws, and these are like shallow routes, dig routes, stuff over the middle, a lot of stuff over the middle. Basically, the Broncos started to de-emphasize it over the course of the season. The hope is, and this is coming from when he worked with Peyton Manning, kind of what we heard back then, the things Drew Lock said he was working on and focused on were finding his hots and working on where he needed to go with the ball versus pressure. And that's great. Drew Lock has done a really good job over the first 2 years of his career, not taking sacks. And that is a quarterback has a lot of control over that. The downside of that is a lot of times the reason Drew Lock is not taking sacks is because he's rolling away from a clean pocket. So if he does a better job of finding his hot, he'll probably get more consistent completions. And if you're playing in a PPR league, that will probably, you'll see that mostly in the tight ends and running backs, I would assume.
Okay. And I mean, how much of a make or break season is this for him? Cause I mean, we talked a little bit offline cause he could be, you know, he could go, I mean, I think the expectation level or the wish is you get Josh Allen in year three, or, you know, you get someone, you get a Blake Bortles type or a Christian Ponder. I mean, one of those things there, I think there's that concern. Is it really that wide a range?
Yeah. And I would say, and again, I don't say this, I hope that Drew Lock has a Josh Allen leap. I want to point that out first, because obviously it's better for the Broncos. It's better for every other member of the Broncos offense if he turns into a contender for MVP. Historic numbers. Me and a coworker at Mile High Report, we went back and looked at every quarterback to start 16 games since the year 2000. And then we looked at the next 16 games to try and get an idea of what that kind of development will look like. And then the third 16. The quarterbacks since 2000 to fit that, there was 57 of them. Realistically, Drew Lock is probably headed towards something between, and again, like COVID may very well make him an outlier in this regard. So like that's worth remembering. But the numbers suggest that Drew Lock is probably headed towards being somewhere between the 20th and 25th best quarterback if he makes a jump in his second season. If he's an atypical jump, you can hope he's hovering around league average. And again, that would be a great improvement for the Broncos, especially for a team that's led by their defense. Josh Allen type leap, he is one of two what I consider outliers, him and Drew Brees. Both of them, they both struggled as passers very similarly to Drew Lock, and they both kind of exploded in year three. If for Drew Lock, I think the more realistic expectation and or hope is that he makes a jump to something resembling average this season. And then if he continues to grow, he can get better. I don't foresee a Josh Allen type leap, although again, I hope it happens.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, two out of 57 have had that leap, and it's, I mean, what that's for less than 4%. So yeah, it's hard to expect that. There's the alternative, Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he's kind of safe. He supported two 1,000 yard receivers in Carolina last year. A third receiver, Curtis Samuel, went over 1,000 yards total. Is he kind of like that safety net in case things just, you know, the wheels fall off with Drew Lock?
He is. And I also, I do expect this to be a legitimate competition. It's hard to really kind of like suss out where the Broncos land on this, because George Payton was part of the Vikings when they drafted Teddy Bridgewater in the first round. Teddy Bridgewater, technically, he's a Peyton guy at this point. He's the one who traded for him, whereas Drew Lock is an Elway guy. But I think for the Broncos perspective, I think the best case scenario, because Drew Lock is on a rookie contract, the best case scenario is Drew Lock makes the jump. But at the same time, Teddy Bridgewater is a really, really good fail-safe, just because, and again, he's not necessarily exciting, but he is accurate. He does a good job leading his receivers. He plays within structure, which are all these things are issues Lock had last season. Teddy Bridgewater is athletic enough to make plays happen outside of structure, and he does a good job resetting. So if he has to escape pressure and then reset to find a receiver, he does a decent job of that. His deep accuracy has around league average. His arm isn't necessarily as strong as Locke's, like definitely not anywhere in that ballpark, but it's good enough. The big complaints with Teddy Bridgewater are there are times he will leave something on the table. He will have a receiver getting open deep and he will take the safer completion underneath because he checked down to it. The hope obviously is that Pat Shurmur can kind of go that out of him, but it remains to be seen. I do think that it'll probably go two preseason games before we have separation, unless Locke really struggles.
Let's go to the running backs now. It looks like it's two-headed monster, really. Again, another, I don't know if you want to call it a competition. I'll let you kind of characterize it. You got Melvin Gordon, the grizzled veteran, on the last year of a deal. There was an off-the-field issue at the end of last season, and also he did not show up for minicamp. So there's that side. Javonte Williams, high draft pick, team traded up to get him. I heard all of the pre-draft pundits. They loved him to bits. What can you look into a crystal ball and see how this kind of shakes out?
So I was actually just looking at this earlier today, and the fact that the Broncos have a late bye, it wouldn't completely surprise me if Javonte Williams comes out of that bye in week 11 and he starts to basically be the leading rusher. But I do expect Melvin Gordon to be the starter or at least receive a bulk of the carries and touches on passing downs early. So again, if you're looking at like PPR, it's probably safer to go with Melvin Gordon. If you're looking at Dynasty, I would definitely get Javonte Williams though. As you said, I love Javonte Williams back before the draft. Basically, as soon as I watched him, I identified him as the number one running back for the Broncos offense in this last draft class. The Broncos mix in a lot of gap concepts, which is pulling guards, they'll down block, and then try and get a guard leading a back out onto the perimeter. Well, that's what Javonte Williams did at UNC, and he was very, very good at it. And what that does in the NFL is if he can get out on the perimeter, he has elite contact balance, and so he's going to win a lot of those one-on-ones against linebackers and DBs, and he's a better blocker than he gets credit for. He's not necessarily a dynamic receiver. I think he can get better in this regard, but he's not a dynamic route runner, but he's a reliable receiver. He has good hands. So I think over time, the coaching staff's just going to fall in love with him.
Do you find it interesting that, talking about average draft position, they're both kind of in the same range. And I think it's hilarious that they're in the same range. I see them as very, I think it's easy to like and also not like each one, depending on the situation and depending on if you expect one to get the early work in the early part of the season or, again, you were talked about it. Javonte Williams could be a lot of times we see that rookie running back kind of takes the job over after the bye. So it's very interesting. Now, what is kind of the situation with Gordon now as far as being in camp and does everything sound okay with him?
So the big report was last October, he got arrested and he ended up pleading not guilty to a DUI charge. It ended up changing to a reckless driving. And there was kind of a rumor for a long time this offseason that the Broncos were waiting to find out what the league was going to do. If he received punishment from the NFL, the word from Nine News' Mike Kliss was that the Broncos were going to go after his guarantees. And I suspect that is part of the reason why he stayed out of mandatory or out of minicamp and OTAs, because if he received league discipline or got hurt and he lost his guarantees, that's tough for a running back. That said, as of now, what I've basically seen is that the league isn't going to do anything. And if the league isn't going to do anything, he's going to enter camp. And the Broncos are on the hook, I want to say, for $8 million on the cap this year. They're going to play him. And Pat Shurmur, he asks his running backs to pass block quite a bit. And I have a hard time believing he's not going to trust a veteran who has seen those looks from a defense, at least early on. The things to keep in mind with Gordon is he has gotten dinged up a good bit in the past. And that's another reason why I do believe that Javonte Williams is worth a definite look. Because if Melvin Gordon gets hurt and misses time, Javonte Williams may not give that job back because he is the future for sure. The Broncos traded up to get him. And I, if you remember, right before the draft, the second day, Josina Anderson from ESPN reported that there was a team that believed in. I don't have it right in front of me, but it was like he has the feet of like Barry Sanders, the vision. Like it was out there. It was, and again, like I love Javonte Williams, but I was like, wow, somebody really loves him. And then the Broncos traded up for him. So there's a very good chance it's them. So again, I think as soon as he starts to get a real opportunity, he's gonna run away with the job. I just think the passing down, the fact that the NFL is, it's always a passing down. I think Melvin Gordon will get the bulk of touches early. It's just from there, it'll probably start to move towards Williams.
I'd love to see Barry Sanders 2.0. I don't know if this is him, but we'll see. Well, let's get over to the receivers. I think there's two clear cut players who are going to be high in targets. It's Courtland Sutton coming off the ACL, Jerry Jeudy coming off of kind of like a roller coaster ride of a rookie season. Can you kind of give us a picture of what their, you know, is there going to be a target leader on there? And is for all the reports, it sounds like Courtland Sutton is full, all systems go for this season. He'll be about a year, right? Almost a year on the nose from when the season starts to when he had this injury last year.
Yeah. And early in the preseason, don't get too spooked by if the Broncos from reports today, the Broncos are going to probably play him in one preseason game and that's it. They're going to play it very, very safe for them because of the knee. But I would pay attention to stuff out of camp. Everything I've heard to now is he's expected to make a full recovery and be back to 2019 Courtland Sutton. And 2019 Courtland Sutton was a $20 million receiver. Like, you know, once he's getting a new contract, I would say if Drew Lock is the starting quarterback, Courtland Sutton is going to probably lead the Broncos in targets for sure. Almost definitely receptions as well, just because he's Drew Lock's favorite target. And Drew Lock has a propensity, and again, maybe he changes in year this year, but in his rookie season, basically, if Drew Lock didn't know where to go with the ball, he'd throw it to Courtland Sutton. And Courtland Sutton, more often than that, would make him right. If it's Teddy Bridgewater, it wouldn't be surprising if Jerry Jeudy kind of emerges with more targets, but I do think that Courtland Sutton will have a productive year either way, as long as the knee is right. Beyond that, if we're looking at the other receivers, that's where the quarterback is going to probably really determine things. If you're looking at deeper drafts and you're kind of considering like, well, do I really want to look at KJ Hamler or Tim Patrick? Tim Patrick did a really good job kind of filling in for Courtland Sutton last year. The thing with Tim Patrick is Tim Patrick can play outside, inside. He's ideal on the boundary. But when the Broncos play different personnel groupings, say two receivers and they're both on the same side, twins formations, Tim Patrick could be the guy out there instead of Jerry Jeudy if they wanted to have a bigger body. And the other thing is, with Jerry Judy's ability to play inside or outside in the slot, Tim Patrick can come on the field as an outside receiver with Jerry Jeudy, and the Broncos will probably mix in a decent bit of that. And again, if Drew Lock is playing, I like the idea of Tim Patrick getting quite a few, kind of as a tertiary target, but he'll get some looks. If KJ Hamler is looking, or if you're looking at KJ Hamler, I would definitely favor him more if you're seeing Teddy Bridgewater, just because Teddy Bridgewater's game is kind of in that area of the field where KJ Hamler, his profile, that's what he needs to get more touches, where he needs to get more touches. And that was a part of his issues last year. I know his production was low, so there's a decent chance if Teddy Bridgewater's starting and you're looking to draft KJ Hamler, he might be a steal, or if you're looking to get him after the draft, just because shallow routes, slants, that kind of stuff, he'll feast on that if Teddy Bridgewater is getting the ball, because he'll get him the ball with room to operate. And the big question with him is his health. So long as his hamstrings are kind of holding up, because that has been an issue so far in his NFL career. But if those aren't problematic, I could see him being a sneaky flex pick.
And we didn't touch on Jerry Jeudy.
I love Jerry Jeudy. First of all, I am not particularly worried about the drops last year. I do think he's always, and again, from a pure, just realistic standpoint, he's probably always going to have a few, but last year was kind of the perfect storm of Drew Lock was pretty bad. He had to catch passes from Jeff Driskel and Brett Rypien. And he was a rookie, essentially being the wide receiver one in the NFL his rookie season because Courtland Sutton got hurt. He already is probably one of the two or three best route runners in terms of separation quickness in the league. And if he's doing a better job of like kind of syncing up with the offense, as all reports kind of point to, he's going to explode this year. And I expect him to push for a Pro Bowl. Again, if Teddy Bridgewater's the quarterback, I really like Jerry Jeudy. And I would say that he is going to probably be a steal where he's currently being drafted. If Drew Lock is the quarterback, I like him. But that's probably about fair. So I would not overdraft him.
Yeah. Do you think he can support two receivers? Drew Lock, if he's the guy.
Drew Lock, if he's the starting quarterback, can probably support two receivers. Yeah. Because one of the things to keep in mind with the Broncos passing game last year and the year, well, last year, Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick essentially split the touches, and they both had to deal with, well, Tim Patrick, not as much, but Jerry Jeudy missed some time with injury. And again, he had backups. So that was part of it. I do think Drew Lock can, and Pat Shurmur wants to throw the ball. Pat Shurmur uses 11 personnel, so three receiver sets, more than 60% of the time. I've looked at this going back to the Vikings, and I've looked at this with the Browns. Like, he's moved towards 11 personnel quite a bit. So there's going to be receivers on the field, and he wants to pass. The Broncos became more ground heavy last year, in part because of Lock's struggles. But Pat Shurmur wants to throw the ball more than he runs it, probably 60 to 65% of the time.
One last skill group, the tight ends. You've got Noah Fant, high draft capital, drafted right in only a few picks behind TJ Hawkinson, who kind of broke out last season. He's obviously battled injuries. And speaking of injuries, I'm not even going to try and say his last name, but how do the tight ends kind of shake out as far as target?
Noah Fant will definitely be the number one as long as he's healthy. And I would say that he is going to play the vast majority of the snaps. The second most utilized personnel grouping on the Broncos is almost definitely going to be 12. So we'll see Albert O. But unless you're playing in a really deep league, I would be a little leery about grabbing him just because he's going to be like the fourth or fifth target on most plays. If you are playing in a league that really puts an emphasis on scoring, he might be worth a look as like a deep kind of bench guy in case of an injury, because him and Drew Lock do go back to Missouri. And even in the short time he was playing last year, he did receive quite a few looks around the end zone. I think the Broncos coaching staff likes him in terms of like real, like beyond fantasy. I am very high on him. I don't know if his numbers will necessarily reflect it right away. But yeah, Noah Fant, I think, especially if you're in a dynasty, I would grab him because he is going to break out. It's just a matter of if the quarterback can reliably get him the ball, but I believe in him.
And he was close to 100 targets last year. So it's kind of like, I mean, with the 17th game, you kind of, he's in that tier of tight ends after the Kyle Pitts,
yeah,
TJ Hawkinson and Mark Andrews group. So the guys who could be top 10, who could fall out of the top 10. Offensive line, so important to a football team. So important to fantasy. You got all pro at left tackle who made the big jump. This group is rated number 20 as a unit. But again, this was, so many people talk about that the Broncos are strong everywhere, one quarterback away. Can you describe how this group, and are they better against the better supporting the run or the pass?
So the two big questions with the Broncos offensive line is their center situation and the right tackle situation. Because Juwan James, he came back from an opt-out, got hurt, and then the Broncos cut him. They ended up signing two veterans after the draft, Bobby Massey and Cameron Fleming. And then today, Vic Fangio said that Calvin Anderson is also under consideration for right tackle. And then the center situation is between Quinn Meinerz and Lloyd Cushenberry. I think it's a toss-up. The fact that the Broncos just signed Brent Jones from the Vikings does suggest that they want to have at least a floor of competency. So if both the younger players don't kind of step up and take the job, we could see Jones. But in terms of the unit as a whole, it comes down, again, the quarterback situation will probably determine some of the stuff with passing, just because Drew Lock does a pretty good job of keeping himself safe. Whereas Teddy Bridgewater does a better job of identifying pressure pre-snap, but he will take some sacks. That said, I think they should be a decent pass blocking line. And I think the Broncos run blocking should improve so long as the center situation is stable. Mm. Last year, the Broncos had probably Lloyd Cushenberry's probably the worst center in football that started every game. You almost think he has to improve. And if he doesn't improve, somebody else will play. So with that in mind, if the center situation is stable, both the guards are good. They were dragged down last year in part because the center situation was so bad. And the fact that the Broncos use so much gap concepts, their running game should be quite dynamic.
Let's go to the defensive side. The early pick, first round pick, Patrick Surtain, trying to really shore up the pass defense against some of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, especially a couple of them in the AFC East, AFC West. You still got Von Miller, maybe at the tail end of his prime. What this group is, maybe this isn't a dominant group like the team that won the Super Bowl, but how is this group as far as a team that should fantasy players be careful when they're starting players against them, or are they better against the run or the pass?
This, I would expect the Broncos defense to be a better pass defense than run defense this year. So first of all, I want to say that if everything kind of breaks right, this defense could be the best Broncos defense we've seen since that 2015 defense, just because they have the pass rush, the way they invested in the secondary. And then Vic Fangio is a very, very good play caller. The biggest question mark or weakness on the unit is probably the linebackers, just because they're not necessarily fast. But I spoke with Football Outsiders Derek Klassen, I want to say last week, and when we were talking about it, I looked it up and I found the Broncos linebackers were very good in coverage. And again, that's playing within the Fangio defense, so there it's a good pass defense. The big question about them is the run defense, just because the Broncos play out of a too high structure, which means that both safeties are playing back. They're playing pass first. And yes, they'll rotate down to play against the run, but it puts a lot of stress on the front defenders to be able to hold up their gaps. And the Broncos defensive line is undersized. They have Mike Purcell coming back, so that should help. But I don't necessarily think they're going to stop opposing running games. I think they're going to try and slow them down. But I do think that this defense could lead to quite a few turnovers in the passing game, just because the pressure that Chubb and Von Miller will be able to create. And then Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, Ronald Darby, Patrick Surtain, Justin, the secondary is very, very good.
You know, considering the fact that, two quote unquote potential franchise quarterbacks were still on the board when Patrick Surtain was picked, Justin Fields and Mac Jones, how has the fan base kind of reacted? Is it still something that's being talked about?
Yeah, and I do think this is going to be one of those things that if Justin Fields and Mac Jones play well, it's going to be talked about for probably forever. That said, most people I have spoken with, they liked Surtain. I love Surtain. He was the best defensive player on my board going into the draft. He was the best fit for the Broncos defense. So I liked the pick of him. I didn't like the decision. Me personally didn't like the decision to pass on the quarterback. But that said, yeah, I think he's very good. And I think that that's going to be one of those things. The big question with him going forward is because they just paid Ronald Darby and because they signed Kyle Fuller, where does he play? I personally think that the Broncos may end up playing a lot more dime personnel, which again would support the idea that the Broncos will probably sacrifice their run defense a little bit to be very good against the pass. But yeah, I don't think talking about Surtain versus Justin Fields is going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah. NFL fans have quite the memory when it comes to what they want to remember.
Oh yeah. I still remember that the Broncos passed on Ed Reed to draft Ashley Lalee back in 2002. Ooh. Ooh. That was painful.
Ooh, Hall of Famer. Well, yep. Yeah. Hey, you could be the Bears passing up on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. So we'll see. Yeah. I got to ask one question about your Twitter bio. Definitely. Rippenite.
Oh yeah.
Where does that come from?
I loved Brett Rippen when he came out of the draft. Same draft class as Drew Lock. And there's a bit of this story to this. The 2019 NFL draft class was pretty weak in terms of quarterback play overall. We had Murray at the top. We had Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock. And again, I was pretty shaky on Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones for the Broncos offense at that time. Brett Rypien to me looked like a pretty good fit. That said, clear backup. He's not a guy that you really want starting, but I'm one of those nerds that really kind of stick to the idea that backup quarterbacks are important. They're a heartbeat away. And so every year around this time, we start to say, well, Brett Rypien's not that good. Let's cut him. It's like, no, hold on to him. I love him.
Okay. Well, I think they're definitely holding on to him. So I love to close out with one fun Mexican food question. Everybody loves tacos. And it's kind of my own little survey. Tacos are like pizza. You always find something, even a bad taco is still better than no taco at all. What are some of your favorite kinds?
Oh man. So I took a motorcycle trip way back when, and I actually visited a buddy of mine in Albuquerque. And I got to say, I have not had tacos like that anywhere. Green chili, I love it. And I put it on it and it was, I don't know, it just changed it for me. But yeah, I agree. You can't really have a bad taco.
Any particular kind of meats are your favorite?
Oh man, beef, chicken. I've had steak on them. Yeah, all of it.
Oh, it's hard to mess it up. Just, you really can't mess it up. Oh man. Mi amigo Joe, we could call you Jose on this one just for grins. Let's close it out. Let us know where people can find all your great work.
So if you want to check out my work on Twitter, I am at @JoeRowe_NFL. I write for Mile High Report. If you like listening to podcasts, I talk about the Broncos a lot on Cover 2 Broncos.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor and YouTube for helping us host our network, both on an audio format as well as the video format. As you guys can see right here, who are watching us. Thank you for, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Just hit the subscribe button. Also make sure you follow me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. Our Familia FFB page is at Familia FFB on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our original content on FamiliaFFB.com. Everybody, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Joe, Jose, gracias otra vez. Fue un gran placer to have you join us today. And everybody remember, todos somos familia. Salud.